telephone call from Luan Wardell, 1736.
Hello?
Hello, this is Luan.
Yeah, good afternoon, ma'am. I'm sorry, don't know what the problem was there. I don't know, did I give you the wrong number before?
Yeah, the one I was calling was 62.
Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am, that's my fat fingers.
I don't know, that's okay.
Well, I appreciate you. Well, ma'am, I appreciate you accepting my friendship on Facebook and correspond with me. As you know, I'm concerned about what I've heard that you were not treated properly by the Department of Education, and that you might have provided information on some of the problems down at Mid Central. And I was hoping if you had a moment that we could talk about that. I know you're I'm just leaving Pierce. I know we're not close, but do you mind if we talk about it on the phone?
No, I don't mind. That was a real traumatic time in my life, being in Pierce. I went there with some high expectations, and it was really, I guess I have to say, I met some of the most unethical and unhonest people in my whole life when I went there. And I tried to do what was right, and I tried to warn everybody, but they didn't want me around. So I left and looked back.
Well, ma'am, can you tell me what who did you warn and what did you warn them about, if you don't mind me asking? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello? Oh, gone reception. Hello? Kidding me. Yeah, ma'am, I'm sorry. My phone dropped the telephone call.
Mr. Nelson, what's your background? I mean, I know you're a state senator, but...
Sure. Well, ma'am, I'm originally from the Mitchell area. My dad was a longtime state trooper. I was raised around the Sioux Falls, Salem, and Mitchell area. I graduated from Mitchell in 85. I went straight in the Marine Corps. I was a military policeman, a marksmanship instructor, and a criminal investigator in the Marine Corps. And then I was a federal agent. Have you ever seen the TV show NCIS?
Oh yeah, it was one of my favorites.
Well, I was a real life NCIS. I'm not as good looking as Mark Harmon, but I actually did the work. So, but I retired in 2008, and I have a small hobby farm over by Mitchell. And folks asked me to get in the legislature because they were kind of tired of some of the corruption they've seen in our state government. So I spent 4 years in the House, and then folks asked me to run against Mike Rounds. Again, I ran against him and didn't win and thought I was done. And then last fall, folks asked me to get back in. They were kind of tired of the corruption. And so I got back into office, and I promised the folks that if they sent me back to Pier, that I would jump in the middle of this EB-5 and this gear-up corruption and try my best to get them the honest government they deserved. So, if you had a chance...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay. So I wasn't treated very well in Pierre. I tried to warn them. I was fired for it. And, but I'm still speaking to you off of the record, because if there's one thing I've learned in the last 5 or 6 years of knowing these people, they're very ruthless. They, I don't know how to explain it. It's just crazy.
No, ma'am, I've seen plenty of it here in South Dakota, and I've experienced it. So I understand. My first year in the legislature, ma'am, I was dealing with the corruption. And in response, they tried to claim that I threatened to kill another legislator on the House floor. They released that to the press. They did that to try and ruin my reputation and to get me thrown out of the legislature. So I know how ruthless and how dishonest they can be. So you have my sympathies. You were talking to someone that's very sympathetic to what you have to say. We're trying to get to the bottom of this. There's a lot of folks, these board members on Mid Central over the years, that are now stuck with with this mess that was created. Melody Shop and her staff are trying to blame everybody else and say that they had no idea that there was any problems there. And it was brought to my attention that you, in fact, were not treated right, and that you had tried to raise some warnings that there was problems with down there in Mid-Central. Can you tell me some of the warnings that you gave them about what you were aware of, or that you had seen there was a problem down there?
When I first went to Pierre, that's the first opportunity to actually see budgets, to see the gear budgets and stuff like that. And then, yeah, remember, I helped create gear up in the state of South Dakota. I did all the groundwork. I went into the schools and got the school boards assigned. It was a wonderful program in 2006 when I went into 36 different middle schools and high schools. I've always been an advocate of Indian education. So it was a wonderful program. I thought I was working with wonderful people. I was passionate about it. I wanted to get more kids exposed to post-secondary education. So the first 3 years, it was setting up the program, going into schools and doing presentations. And so then when I get to Pierre, after being vetted by Keith Moore and Governor Rounds she's going to be a good project director. Chief is going off to D.C. We'll use Luann because Luann gets things done. Well, the first thing a good manager does is look at the budgets. So I started looking at the budgets, and I'm going, oh my God, I know these people. I know some of these names on here. They don't do any work. Why are they getting these $60,000, $70,000 salaries?
So I started raising. Who would have that been, the names you're talking about, ma'am?
Oh, friends of Stacy Phelps, ex-wives, friends, and I became very angry. And I said, we've got kids killing themselves on Pine Ridge and Rosebud, and these people are doing this to our children's money? And the first thing I did was called up Keith Moore. He was at USD as the dean of it. He was working over as the cultural liaison or something, and me and him were pretty good friends. And I called him up. I said, Keith, I said, I've had the chance to look at the budgets. I said, what in the hell is going on here? And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, you know what I mean. I said, you've been here the last 4 years. I said, you must have known this was going on. Karina Phelps, Stacy's ex-wife, getting $60,000 a year. She doesn't do a damn thing. I said, Jay Roman, a hippie guy from Rapid City who's a druggie and an immoral man, you're paying him $70,000? I said, what in the hell's going on? He says, I'll be in Pierre tomorrow, Luann, and we'll talk about it. And I said, well, you better be here tonight. I said, because I'm not putting up with this. So Keith came to Pierre. We met down at Mad Mary's, and I brought copies of the budgets along. And I said, you explain this to me right now. I said, this is fraud. This is not right. He goes, well, Luann, sometimes that's the cost of doing business. That right then I lost all respect for the man.
What was his position at that time, ma'am?
Keith?
Yeah.
he was working at the University of South Dakota as their chief diversity officer. He followed his mentor, Rick Melmer, over to USD, because Rick then was the dean of education over there.
Okay, so
Rick always took care of Keith.
Well, let me ask you this, ma'am. How was Keith in control of any of this or responsible for any of it?
Because at the time, he was still the project director of GEARUP. He was designated project director, on the application.
Okay.
So they were doing the transition. They were going to name me as project director, so they did. But then after I was project director, that's when I started having access to all these budgets. And I said, well, now my name is on this as a project director. I said, no, I'm not going to put up with this. So I called Stacy and I called Dan and I called Scott. I said, I want you to come to my office in Pier tomorrow and we're going to talk about this. So they all came to my house in Pier and I laid everything out on the table. I said, I don't know what you guys have been doing. I said, but it's going to stop right now. I said, I am not going to put up with this. Well, me being naive, thinking I had the right to say that to those people, well, then that's when they started making sure that I was not going to be around very much longer. That's when they started their campaign with Melody and them and Tom Oster and poisoning them against me. And, you know, I was gonna start screwing up a big thing for everybody.
Did you ever communicate any of this to them by email?
I have an email that was CC'd to 13 different directors in the South Dakota Department of Education. I have it here in front of me. I'll read it to you. It was CC'd to Mark Wilson, Mary Static Smith, Deb Barnett, Tamara Darnell, Dan Siedersma, Wade Pogany, Janet Ricketts, and my two friends from Redstone Education, and even a Board of Regents gentleman that I thought was my friend, Sam Gingrich. This email that I sent to Melody in January of 2011 was CC'd to every member of what's called the management team in the Department of Education. I said, Melody, and I had given her an email about 15 minutes prior to that, even having more concerns, and then I was called in their office about 15 minutes later, and then I was fired. So then as I'm leaving the office, all I can remember thinking was, oh my God, what a sigh of relief. I'm getting the heck out of here. I've never met so many sleazy people in my life. So many ungodly people, so many sleazy people, so many people who have no morals, nothing. So I sent this email to Melody, and this is what it said, and I CC'd everybody. I said, Melody, it has been a pleasure working at the South Dakota Department of Education. I've met a lot of really nice people. It is unfortunate that it had to end this way. By ending my appointment as an employee of the Department of Education, you've effectively sided with people who have no integrity or morals when it comes to managing grants and federal funds. I have told you over and over what Stacy Phelps and Mid-Central have been doing with the GEARUP grant and the College Access grant. Stacy Phelps told Dr. Stone and John Hawes, my evaluators for the College Access grant, that they would get me fired. Well, I guess he has. To conclude, you know only too well that I have been frustrated with the daily operations of the South Dakota GEARUP grant and the South Dakota College Access grant. In front of everyone last Friday at the last College Access meeting, Stacy Phelps directed all College Access staff to send College Access data to his GEARUP data lady. This commingling of data is illegal. Stacy Phelps remains project coordinator in charge of daily operations. This arrangement did not work previously, and I'm not sure why we would expect a different result. He is also designated 100% GEARUP, and once I showed you and Mr. Oster the budgets a couple of months ago, you were appalled. What has changed? Mark Wilson and Tiffany Sanderson were at the last College Access staff meeting with me. Mark pulled me outside of the meeting and said he could not believe what he was hearing in regards to data and how mismanaged these grants have been due to Mid-Central mismanagement. Dr. Kelly Duncan's role in College Access, besides being ill-defined, raises a variety of ethical considerations. I have been praying about the difficulties I have experienced, and I believe God has the best interest in mind. I have a great faith that everything happens for a reason. I can look at myself in the mirror in the morning and go to bed with a peaceful heart. You told me last week not to worry so much about the grants and to focus on the larger policy issue. Melody, how can one focus on other issues when the foundation of the Office of Indian Education is based on unethical foundations? My advice to you, Melody, is to remember some of Tom's parting words. Without integrity, you have nothing. And then I left.
Ma'am, I am begging you with tears in my eyes. I am begging you to please give me that email. And I promise you, ma'am, that I will use that email and I will do my very level God bless, best to get justice, not only for you, but for every last one of these kids that have been money stolen from their educations. I beg of you, madam, please forward that email to me. Give me a copy of it. I promise you, ma'am, I will use that. They obviously have that. I can get it if by going through very gymnastic contortions of trying to make them give it to me. But if you give it to me now, I can use it and I will get you justice, ma'am. I promise you.
You know, when I gave this to Melody in January of 2011, I left here and never looked back. And then all that happened in September 2015, and I knew Scott, and I knew those beautiful children. I had been around them for 5 or 6 years. And I remember I got a phone call the day of the murders from Margot Heiner, Troy's mom. And she called me up and she says, Luann, she says, I was in Pier today in Melody's office when we found out about the murders. And she broke down crying and grabbed me and hugged me and said, this is my fault. I should have listened to Luann. There's an email out there from 4 years ago and I didn't do anything about it. So when I find out yesterday that Melody went in front of GOAC and lied to you when she said she wasn't given any warnings from me, I don't know what's going on here. I just don't understand how someone can sit in front of a room full of legislators and lie when we're talking about murders and stuff that have happened.
Well, ma'am, if I'm going to be very frank and honest with you. Now that I know that email exists, I can go through all kind of gymnastic court contortions to try and get it. But if you're able to give it to me now, it saves me a lot of effort in trying to get it. And if I get it now, I can be 10 miles ahead in this race of trying to get this accountability and holding her accountable for lying not only to the legislative committee, but for her involvement in this. Can I get you to forward that to me?
You know, Mr. Nelson, for the last 2 years, I've looked over my shoulder after what happened to the Westerhoofers, and I've talked to people. I said, are you sure that Scott is responsible for that? Are you sure it wasn't Stacy or someone you didn't hire? Was it a hit? I stayed silent for 2 years because I was told by very, very influential people in the state to be quiet, that you can't trust these people.
Well, ma'am, one of the things that I can tell you as a retired cop and as a Marine, the best defense is a good offense. And the thing is, if we have that email out there, then the focus is on them. And the fact then that the world now knows that you did the right thing and that email is being able to be used for good, I'm telling you right now, as someone that has sworn to protect you, that it's in your best interest to get that information to me and to allow it to be made public record. And I can demand, and I'm sure at this point that I can get make it so they've got to give it to me. But one of the things they can say is, well, it was deleted. But, you know, I've got the knowledge of it now, and I can say what was in it. But it would be much better, ma'am, if I could get that email from you. If I'm able to get a copy of that, you evidently listened to what happened yesterday at the hearing. You understand.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I listened to that clip of Melody speaking, and I thought, oh my goodness, Melody, you know that email is out there. Why don't you just tell the truth?
Well, ma'am, I'm going to tell you, you only heard a small part of it. I had to put up with similar comments for about an hour. And She said that the Department of Education was unaware of any of this misconduct. They had no indications. Nobody told them that they did everything right, and that they were not responsible for this in any way. They had no knowledge. They were told by the auditors that there was, you know, everything was good to go.
Was Tammy Darnell in the room too?
Yes, ma'am, she was. She was.
She was on this email 6 years ago also.
Well, and she sat right next to Melody Schopp, and she also testified yesterday to some of the information.
So obviously I read the email too, and I've warned them. I said I've seen things, and obviously they could have looked at it closer. So they did know that there was some things that was, of course, I only knew the tip of the iceberg. You know, once more things came out, it's like, these guys are in so much more deep than even I knew. I thought we were just talking about nepotism and giving people some salaries who didn't really do much work, but as we know now, it was so much more than that.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been really praying about this, and well, this has been on my heart for 6 years. And then after the murders happened, I thought, God, you know, what are we going to do here? You know, I had all kinds of reporters calling me, and so people know that email's out there. What I don't understand is that Wade Cogney, Tammy Darnell, Mary Static Smith, everybody who was on our management team meeting at the time at the Southwood Department of Education, they're all CC'd on this email. Why didn't anybody else speak up? I mean, is there some? But then I come to realize that there's such a climate of fear in that department. If you make one misstep, they fire you.
Well, ma'am, ma'am, let me tell you that when I specifically asked about why you were fired and why Mr. Campbell was run off, she claimed that you were just let go because of changes in the administration. And she denied that you were let go because you provided information.
Well, I guess this email shoots that all to heck.
Yes, ma'am, it does. And that's why, can I give you my email address, my personal email address?
Sure.
Okay. My personal, you got a pen and paper?
Hold on. Okay, what is it?
It's my initials. It's SVN. It stands for Stacy Victor Nelson. So it's S as in Sam, V as in Victor, N as in November, 1967 @gmail.com.
Okay, I have it.
Okay. Can you, I've got, what I did was I pulled over on the side of the road, ma'am, because I'm out in the boondocks out and headed south out of Pier. I've got to get going again to get home. Could I ask you, are you going to be able to forward that to me?
I'd just like to hand it to you and meet you. My son is leaving on this weekend. He's starting his PhD program down in Kansas. I'm going to go to Brookings this weekend to visit my son. I want to talk to my pastor. I want to talk to my lawyer. I guess you're a bin where you just don't know what to do. Of course I want to give this to you. I want to give this to you, but I got to know that I'm going to be safe.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you as a retired cop, you are much safer getting that to me and having that known than not. Because as long as it's not, if they've destroyed all the copies up to this point, ma'am, then I'm telling you right now, if you have the only copy or the only information left, and if these people were in fact involved in nefarious activity, and we know that they've already committed crimes, they've committed felonies, we know that they're willing to do criminal acts. I'm not satisfied with the claims that Mr. Westerhaus killed himself and his family. I worked countless death cases. I worked countless suicide cases, ma'am, and I've never seen anything as bizarre as that. And the bottom line is, ma'am, if you're able to get that to me, I promise you right now, you get that to me, and I will make sure that that is in several legislators' hands by the end of tonight. And I'm telling you right now, ma'am, that email changes the game. That email will ensure that we're able to get accountability and justice out of this matter. Because that woman came before the GOAC yesterday and extensively said, claimed that you folks did not provide any information or report anything that would have alerted them that there was problems or any problems within the Gear Up program. So she lied on the record. And there's evidence. You have this email, as you read it to me, that's huge. And you know in your heart, you already know in your heart, God bless you, you're a kind soul, you already know in your heart what the right thing is to do. But let me let you go. Go ahead.
How are you going to use it? I mean, are you going to say you got it from me, or that it could have came from other 13 other people? I mean, how are you going to handle this?
Well, ma'am, something like that, a document like that is considered what they call self-authenticating, okay? The beautiful thing is, because there's so many people on that document, so many people received it, they all can't say that it's a fake. They can't all say that it never occurred. You follow? When there's that many people, they can't get themselves in unison. One person's going to save their ass, and they're going to admit that, yes, it's a legitimate document. But the bottom line is, it's a document that once we receive it, we get to ask the hard questions, and then that person, when we ask those questions, Melody Shop, I assure you, the next time Melody Shop answers questions about this, she'll be under oath, and she'll be having to answer why she lied to the legislative committee in claiming that this stuff didn't, you know, there's no reports of misconduct. So, it is. I think if you take a couple minutes to think about it, ma'am, it is clearly in your best interest, not only in your best interest, but the best interest of every Native American kid that got robbed by these people, to have that document in my hands, in the hands of those that are trying to serve you and serve those kids, and make sure this shit never happens again, and to make sure that these programs that were supposed to be helping these kids actually help them. Because other than the tragedy of that Westerhaus family dying, ma'am, think of the thousands of kids' futures that were robbed. That imagine the amount of money that these people wasted. That if these kids on the reservation had even full rides to college, had tutors that were paid for out of this money to help them through college, think of the amount of good that money could have done. And instead, these greedy people lined their pockets. Well, ma'am, please, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for talking with me. I ask you, please, take a couple minutes. But I think you're obviously a smart woman, ma'am. I think if you look at this in a couple minutes after we get on off the phone, you'll realize that the best thing, your best interests are getting that in my hands as quickly as possible and having somebody else have a copy of it. But let me let you go. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and if I don't hear anything further from you, I'll contact you back about, I'm happy to meet you in person. My biggest concern, ma'am, is as a cop, evidence is always very fragile. And it's always best if there's evidence out there to get it and secure it and make sure that it's safeguarded and immortalized. And the information you're providing, that's huge. Ma'am, that right there will ensure that the corruption that we've witnessed, that will ensure that the people that were involved in this will have to answer questions. So, I respectfully ask you, I beg you, ma'am, please get that to me. But let me let you go. I've got a couple of the folks have been trying to call in on other issues. I'll wait to hear from you. And worst case scenario, if I've got to meet you in person, I will happily do that. On your way to Brookings, I'll even buy you lunch. And we can do that regardless. But I really want to tell you, ma'am, as someone that spent his lifetime in law enforcement and sworn to protect you, It's in your best interest to get me that document.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah. Thanks for talking.
Thank you, ma'am. Take care. God bless.
Okay.